Israel Goes to Court for Genocide. By Philip Giraldi. A friend of mine who follows international developments closely recently observed that the United States and Israel have owned gold themselves to become widely perceived as together the two most evil governments on earth. It is a judgment that is hard to disagree with regarding the Jewish state if one examines the abundant evidence that Israel is systematically committing war crimes against the largely unarmed Palestinian civilian population in an effort to bring about ethnic cleansing or even genocide in Gaza and on the West Bank. The process would include removing the Palestinians physically and/or killing them if they resist, which is what is currently taking place. Something like 10,000 dead Palestinian children attest to the brutality and inhumanity of the effort, together with nearly 400 doctors and nurses who were directly targeted, plus more than 100 UN employees trying to bring aid to the civilians. What Israel is doing is monstrous, almost unimaginable. A number of senior Israeli officials have confirmed their government's view, supported by public opinion, that a land between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea swept clean of Arabs would be the most desirable outcome of current developments. The U.S. is at the same time loathed alongside Israel because it is enabling the slaughter by the Israelis while simultaneously spewing the lies that it is somehow restraining or even making Israel's attack more humanitarian. Nothing could be further from the truth, as the White House recently worked hard to defund a major UN-led diplomatic effort that had global support to bring about a ceasefire that would enable emergency relief supplies to be introduced into the battered enclave. Instead, Israel now continues its daily bombardment of Gaza and controls entering supplies, slowing the process down while watching people die of famine and disease, not to mention from artillery shells and bombs. Oh, and the U.S. both funds the Israeli war effort and supplies the munitions that make it all possible. That makes Washington an accessory to the war crimes and to what most of the world considers to be a genocide being perpetrated openly and with malice. In spite of all that, and the tons of evidence of atrocities of all kinds, which even includes friendly fire, killing of Jewish hostages, the Biden administration continues to spout the nonsense that neither war crimes nor a genocide are taking place. Last week, we saw the opening of the International Court of Justice hearings on evidence filed by South Africa demonstrating that Israel's slaughter of the Palestinians amounts to a genocide as defined by the 1948 UN Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, which both Israel and the US have signed. On the day before it opened at The Hague, US National Security Council spokesman John Kirby preemptively stated that the charges were meritless, counterproductive, and completely without any basis in fact whatsoever. State Department spokesman Matt Miller added that the U.S. is not seeing any acts that constitute genocide in Israel's bombing and physical destruction of Gaza. Both comments are contrary to the fact that Israel is clearly creating, at a minimum, conditions that don't allow the survival of the population, which is a definition of genocide. It all means that the U.S. will be fighting hard on behalf of its favorite son, doing whatever lying, coercing, and cheating that it might take to protect Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Crimes Against Humanity crew that he has surrounded himself with. As it is not a U.S. interest to become a nation that condones the killing of tens of thousands of helpless civilians, one must ask the question, who owns you, Joe, and why are your top officials lying about what is taking place? As an American, what I find most offensive about the current state of play is that my country has been turned into a war criminal by a group of politicians and staff appointees controlled by a foreign government and its lobby, whose ignorance is so profound that they should not be running a hot dog stand. In particular, it is soul-destroying to hear the pathetic squealing coming out of a subservient White House every time Israel kills another 100 or so Palestinian children and women cowering in the ruins of a hospital, church, or school. Each squeal in support of more humane or restrained warfare is followed by an assertion from Netanyahu to the effect that Israel's war cabinet will make its own decisions about who it will kill and when. One senior Israeli official, Itamar Ben-Gvir, even warned Biden that Israel is no longer a star on the American flag. Indeed, but it is not that Israel is ungrateful, as those 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs supplied by Biden can really do a number on them, terrorists. The Biden administration has now expedited two shipments of munitions to Israel worth about $253 million, relying on another lying rascal, Antony Blinken of the State Department's claim that the weapons were urgently needed for poor, victim Israel to defend itself, allowing circumvention of existing congressional authority requiring legislative approval of arms sales. There is no step so low when pandering to Israel that the Biden administration will not take. It is all as if Genocide Joe is in a hurry to get the job done on those pesky Palestinians so he can get back to the serious work of fooling the U.S. electorate into voting for him a second time. He is now going around the country trying to sell the product that he is saving democracy, which he is claiming would be destroyed by Trump. As Trump is on an apparent revenge tour, Biden might actually be more right than he usually is, but one has to ask what is happening to American democracy with the current open borders and two wars being de facto fought simultaneously without any actual threat to the U.S. having ever been involved and without the consent of the American people. Quite the contrary, opinion polls suggest the wars are very unpopular while Biden weasels his way to support the fighting while pretending that the U.S. is not directly involved. Can one imagine voluntarily putting the survival of one's nation in the hands of someone like Joe Biden? Israel continues to play its own hand as the U.S. has given it political cover to bomb and otherwise kill as it sees fit. Civilian deaths from bombing totaled 247 on one night alone in early January, but the Netanyahu government has just announced that it will be shifting from large-scale troop movements in Gaza to more directed operations that will focus on Hamas concentrations, finding hostages, and destroying the tunnels that connect resistance's points. Rear Admiral Daniel Haggari, the chief spokesperson for the Israeli military, described how the new phase of the campaign, hopefully to be completed by the end of the month, will involve fewer soldiers and airstrikes, though Israel has previously lied repeatedly about its actual intentions. Ironically, the U.S. concern appears to be that the war is already expanding apart from Gaza. The violence by armed settlers directed against Palestinians in the West Bank is increasing, and foreign targeting by Israel now includes the killing of Hamas and Hezbollah leaders in Lebanon, regular bombing missions directed against targets in Syria which recently killed a dozen senior Iranian officials near the Damascus airport, assassinations in Iraq, as well as the terror bombing in Tehran claimed by ISIS that killed 103. Both Israel and the U.S. are known to have cooperative clandestine relationships with ISIS. And there are several other issues that are worthy of mention. First is how a steady stream of mostly Republican hawks have been making the pilgrimage to Israel to express their wholehearted support of Israel's ongoing genocide of the Palestinians. Most recently, former Vice President Mike Pence made the trip and was photographed near Israel's border with Lebanon writing messages or possibly signing off on U.S.-made artillery shells that were about to be fired against Hezbollah. This pushing for direct U.S. involvement in an impending war that should and could be avoided has had an impact in Washington, where clowns like Senator Lindsey Graham have called on the Biden administration to hit Iran. They have oil fields out in the open. They have the Revolutionary Guard headquarters you can see from space, Graham declared. Blow it off the map. This pressure has prompted Biden to pledge to those in Congress calling for war and also to the Israelis that he will not allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon and do whatever it takes to stop it. As U.S. intelligence has declared its judgment that Iran has no such weapons program, the alleged intelligence suggesting that Iran has a secret program will inevitably come from Israel and Netanyahu. So guess what? Israel will be working hard to produce fabricated evidence that will drag the U.S. into a first strike against Iran, which will in turn hit back against U.S. bases in Syria, Kuwait, Qatar, and Iraq. It is all too reminiscent of the neocon Israeli plot that dragged a clueless George W. Bush and Condi Rice into initiating the disastrous Iraq War in 2003. And the other issue that absolutely no one chooses to talk about is the secret Israeli nuclear arsenal of 200 to 400 weapons together with delivery systems, which is definitely a potential game changer no matter what happens in Gaza and in the West Bank. Would Israel use the nukes? They sure would, especially if the war they are deliberately expanding should turn against them somehow. When former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon was queried about how the rest of the world might respond to Israel using its nukes to effectively wipe out its Arab neighbors, he responded. That depends on who does it and how quickly it happens. We possess several hundred atomic warheads and rockets and can launch them at targets in all directions, perhaps even at Rome. Most European capitals are targets for our air force. We have the capability to take the world down with us. And I can assure you that that will happen before Israel goes under. The plan by America's best friend and closest ally to nuke the world even has a name, the Samson Option, recalling how the biblical strongman Samson brought down the temple where the Philistines were mocking him, killing thousands of them. So maybe Joe Biden should be thinking long and hard about how, and with whom, he is getting our country set up to go to war. Or maybe it is already too late. Philip Giraldi is a former CIA counterterrorism specialist and military intelligence officer and a columnist and television commentator. He is also the executive director of the Council for the National Interest. Other articles by Giraldi can be found on the website of the UNS Review.